World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good, what is it, Tuesday morning? What time is it? That's 7 o'clock here and 6 o'clock there and 5 o'clock there and 4 o'clock someplace else. And last week, that time wasn't even right. And I'm convinced that daylight savings time is another conspiracy theory. It's a plot. It has to be. Why would we change time? Why all of a sudden would we change time? Because whether you admit it or not, this hour, this minute we're in right now is real no matter what the time they call it. It is present and it is here now. Does it matter if they call it 7 o'clock Eastern? Does it matter if they call it 6 a.m.? No, and I understand why clocks work. But what the heck? Why is nobody calling to get rid of daylight savings time? I'm one of them. I'm calling to get rid of daylight savings time. Man, oh, man, I got I need 6 hours this morning. Five, I'd take five. Even on daylight savings time, I'd take 5 hours. I want to, before we get rolling here today, I want to, Rob Pugh, Wisconsin Christian News. Folks, I haven't really been pushing this a lot. This is, if you're up in that Wisconsin area, April 12th and 13th, that's a month. You got a month, right, from now? Rob has a really, really great conference up there. Sharam Hadian, Alex Newman. Alex is always really, really good. Doug Hagman, Mike Spaulding. $69, be the best $69 you ever met. You get there and come and fellowship with one another. Here's the crazy thing. We are up here at Coach Dave Live. All the money's running through Coach Dave Live. So don't be shocked if you go to sign up for this thing and it takes you to Coach Dave Live. Say, what's going on? Rob just doesn't have the capabilities to, you know, to take credit cards, not the way that we do anyway. So, man, I'd really, Leighton Howerton, it's going to be really, really good. And it's always a good place just to get together and iron sharpens iron. And it's amazing thing. I was thinking about Johnny yesterday. He was here. What a pleasure it was to get to know Johnny. And what a pleasure it was and is to get to know Steve Deck. And what a pleasure it is to get to know Dave Allison, on and on and on and on. And the only way I'd ever be able to do that is through this venue. How this happened is really, really pretty amazing. And then one thing, I just got to say this to get it off of my chest. If people come and go, right, they come and go on the show. And people say, hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? You ever heard whatever happened to so-and-so? And sometimes I say, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Just all of a sudden they're gone. I don't know where they are. And can I tell you what it is? A lot of people get butthurt. And here's what they get butthurt over. Oh, did I say it? Yeah, okay, I'll say it. Doctrine divides, folks. Doctrine divides. And so they get in here, and what's really, really good, we throw a piece of red meat down on the table and say, cut it up and chew it, and some of them don't like it. And it begins to question their deeply held religious beliefs, which they don't know why they believe. So I did this morning just because I love doing this kind of stuff, right? Hang on a minute. I'm going someplace and it's going to be really, really good, I promise. I hear from folks regularly. They say, there you go. Getting on that rapture again. There you go. Look, I don't know about the rapture. I don't know about it, and neither do you, okay? I don't know about it. But I'm going to tell you, some people really, really wrap their arms around that baby, and they are not going to let go. So I said this morning, Spencer, this was a standalone email I sent you. I'm just curious. Look, I'm not picking on the rapture. I'm just trying to show you something here, okay? Can you relax? Because people get butthurt and leave when we step on their theology. They leave. They get mad. See, look, what you believe about end time doesn't affect what I believe about it. Can we disagree here? So I Googled this morning, percentage of Christians who hold a pre- or post-tribulation view of the rapture. Huh? What percentage of Christians believe in the rapture? And it says 36%. What? Yeah, 64% of Christians you run into don't believe in the rapture. Yet 36% believe it's rock solid. Now, I'm not here to argue that. But if it was absolutely, could be proven, no doubt about it, wouldn't 100% believe in it? 80%, 90%, wouldn't they? And I think people get uncomfortable because we step on sacred cows here. I don't do it on purpose. We step on sacred cows. And you believe whatever you want to believe, but by golly, you better know why you believe it, and you better defend it. And if 36% of the people believe in a pre-tribulate, by the way, that's pastors, largest share of pastors, 36% report believing in the rapture paradigm. That's one out of every three. Folks, that's only a third of them. Yet we act like it's universal belief. And I'm going to tell you, people leave over this kind of stuff. They leave over it. Now, I don't care if you leave. God bless you. Go make disciples. But here's my concern. Who are you uniting with? Are you just uniting with somebody else who believes like you believe? That's how we got denominations. It's exactly. This is the ultimate non-denominational show right here. You believe whatever you want to believe. You are a brother, sister in Christ. Come, we love you. But we don't necessarily all have to agree from a doctrinal standpoint. Yet people go to war over it. With me? So, if people say, hey, what happened to George? Well, I'm sorry, George, not picking on him. I communicate with George every day. Every day I communicate with him. Okay, so it's good. It's good. And what one of the things that kind of grieves me is I see this, and I know you guys do, sort of like friends, family, sort of like friends. Well, if my brother disappears, does anybody check on him? Are you doing okay out there, brother? Because the Bible says that we're to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. So I see that day approaching, whatever that means. Do you see that day approaching? I see it approaching. Well, we're supposed to be assembling more, not less. Don't pull away because you get butt hurt. Take it with a grain of salt. Say, I've done research on it, and here's what I believe. Okay, well, good. Then stay in there and defend it. But don't let that keep you from fellowshipping with somebody that you believe something that can't be proven, and I believe the same thing a different way, and it can't be proven, and we fight over it. No wonder the devil wins. No wonder. So, man, oh, man, oh, man, I shocked it. Hey, pull up the video here. Standing looks like this. It's not a video. It's a picture. Anybody feel like this? Since you've been watching Coach Dave live, do you feel like this? Because this is what it feels like today to me. Huh? What's it say at the top of that, Spencer? I think it's something cut off there. Isn't it or not? No? That doesn't. No, I guess not. This is what do you ever feel like this? This is what it feels like to stand and stand up for what you believe. Make it a little smaller, Spencer, if you could. There's all those people, and then you're standing there and say, yep, you're all wrong. You're all wrong, man. I feel like that sometimes, right? I really, really do. But it doesn't matter. If everybody else believes a lie, it's still a lie. And here we talk about truth. Truth. And if you're the only one standing on truth, that's sometimes the consequences of it. But you have to stand even if everybody else is against you, right? Oh my goodness. Yeah, it sounds like J6. That's what they're doing to the J6ers, right? All those guys. Oh, I got a million directions to go today. And I'm gonna try to stay focused. Yeah. I sometimes got ADHD, right? I think somebody told me that's absent dad disorder. ADD is absent dad disorder. You grew up without a dad. And I'd say, boy, there's some truth on that. So let me get back to where we were. Rob Hughes event up there in Wisconsin. Going to be there. Hope a lot of you can be up there too. It's a great weekend. It really, really is. And some great speakers. I came across a website. You know, I get up in the morning and I do show prep and I dig into this and dig into that and something pops up. Pull up the second one, Christians for Truth. I found this today, and you go wherever you want to go with it, folks. Christians for Truth. They cover more topics on that website. Man, oh, man, oh, man. And I don't know, as I said, I don't know about you. If it ain't true, I don't want to believe it. And it seems to me like they are attacking everything. How trusted Christian pastors coerced congregations to take the COVID. Is the universal church supported by Scripture? Did Moses actually marry a black African woman? What? Oh, my goodness. Save to beat the devil. All of them. So they're really, put down in the chat. Look, if you just, it's some good information. You know this? Do you know that the entire, this was going to get me in trouble. What's the name of it, Roger? It's called Christians for Truth. ChristiansForTruth.com. ChristiansForTruth.com. You know, the whole racist thing, we all agree that the civil rights movement was good and that it did away with, I don't like to use the word discrimination because discrimination is a good word. Discriminate means you figure what's wrong, what's right, and you discriminate against the two. Discrimination on human rights and all that stuff, from that aspect, the civil rights movement was really, really wonderful. But here's the sad part. The civil rights movement has now been used to destroy everything American. At the heart of the LGBTQRS movement is civil rights. Civil rights. Mm-hmm. They still do everything they can to keep us divided, black against white, all that stuff, folks. It has now become a tool of the devil to divide and conquer us, the civil rights, right? And if we go back to the Declaration of Independence in the Constitution, we know that, as Alan Keyes taught me, the Constitution guarantees you, we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men created, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. They're not inalienable wrongs. You do not have the right to do wrong. They're inalienable rights, not inalienable wrongs. And what we see going on so much in America today is a promotion of inalienable wrongs. Inalienable wrongs. All right, I'll get off of that. We'll get on this. I'm encouraged today. I'm really, really encouraged today. If there's one thing that frustrates me in my life, and Michelle will tell you this, she's up there. She's not in heaven. She's up there. Michelle will tell you this. Friends, I love my anonymity. You know, I got thousands and thousands of people who watch online. And I go anywhere here in town that they don't know who I am. They don't know who I am. I mean, maybe every once in a while, but it's not like I'm Johnny Carson walking down the street. You know, they don't stop me for my autograph and all that. They really don't, and that's really, really good. It's really good. I appreciate that aspect of it. And at the same time, then I get really, really frustrated because I'm wondering, what, golly, Lord, I got so much to say. Why won't they listen to me? Why won't they, you with me? With me? And so I was encouraged today because, pull up number two for me. Eric Metaxas. I don't know if you guys know Eric Metaxas. Yeah. Love him. But he's an author. And Eric Metaxas has come up with a movie. Actually, he wrote a book called Letter to the American Church. That's not it, I don't think, Spence.
Got it, sorry.
There you go. Letter to the American Church. He's written a book about it. And now he's created a movie, a free movie. Because you know this, I say we have the worst Christian leadership in the history of the world right now. Right now, the worst Christian leadership in the history of the world. And I've been saying it for a long time. Makes me a lot of enemies, of course. Well, Eric Metaxas has come up, wrote a book, and then has come out with a video, a free video, that he'll offer to be shown in churches. Yeah, good luck with that one, Eric. Good luck with that one. And it's called A Letter to the American Church. This is a trailer for it. So go ahead and play that real quick, Spence.
I'm convinced that the American church has arrived at a significant moment of truth.
We are only 75, 80 years removed from three separate regimes that killed 60 to 70 million people intentionally.
The parallels with where the American church is now to where the German church stood in the face of the Nazi regime are unavoidable and grim.
Churches need to understand really what Marxism is, which is to destroy the church, to destroy the word of God.
So if you capture the seminaries, you capture the pastors, you capture the laity, you capture the soul of the world.
Christianity is not just about saying Jesus loves you and then going to heaven one day, but that there's a war that's raging.
The church is weakening, which is why Marxism is ascendant in America today.
This is the hour of the American church.
Wow, huh? Wow. This is the hour of the American church. And that, you know, that's what I've been, that's the ditch I've been digging for who knows how long. Praise God, he's raised up Eric Metaxas, who at least is getting some traction. At least people are listening to him. Will the pastors listen to Eric Metaxas? Pull up number one, Matt Truella. Matt Truella's been singing the exact same thing. And sometimes I feel like we're just singing the same song over and over. But this is a real quick video that Truella put together regarding men. Men. Go ahead.
True Christianity confronts the idols and evils and tyrants of nations. These who have turned the world upside down, this means those who are declaring something contrary to what we have known. To them, this was an attack upon their filthy way of life, a possible end to their status quo. They have turned the world upside down. They are acting contrary to Caesar's decrees. They are declaring another king's rule. And this brings a conflict. And we have to ask, where are these kind of men in our day? The world is screaming for these kind of men. Men who love God, who have fealty to Christ, men who will speak, men who will act. True Christianity.
That's us, man. Huh? That's what we're raising up here at Coach Dave Live, all right? Oh, my. Okay, so quickly, I'm going to get some of you. I got so much good stuff. I got so much good stuff. Let's go there. Let's go to number three. Number three at the bottom. I'm sorry I did that to you, Spence. I'm kind of all over the place. Christian nationalism. I think I spoke about it the other day. I've watched this so many times, I couldn't remember if I had played it on the show or not. And if I have, I apologize. But I'm going to play it again. Because look, the devil is going to do everything he can to destroy any type of Christian order. So now that the enemy sees that the church is beginning to wake up, what do they turn to? Christian nationalism. As this is a new form of Nazism. See, that's what they're trying to get you to understand, right? Oh, this is Hitler redone. This is Hitler. Here come those Christians. Hitler redone. And the average churchgoer, the average Christian, ain't got any idea what they're talking about, right? Not to understand that Christian nationalism is the foundation of America. It is the foundation, right? And so they're doing everything they can to make us look like fools. So play this, because you better be aware that this is the new word coming out now, Christian nationalism. Who are you to push your morality on me, is what they say, as they push their morality on you. And they take over the schools and they take over the government and they get mad because all of a sudden they understand, my goodness, there's a little bit of a movement, a little bit of a pushback that's awakening all out of this country. Play this. It's real short. Go ahead and play it.
Margaret Sanger, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Mao Zedong shed more innocent blood in the 20th century alone than all the murderers, warlords, and tyrants of the previous history combined.
Yeah, it's a fact.
More innocent blood was spilled in a 100-year period by five men and their ideology, mm-hmm. and a woman, than all of human history before the year 1900 combined. And they tell you Christian nationalism is the great threat to our democracy. Really? No. Secular globalism, secular humanism, neo-Malthusianism, Darwinism, call it whatever you want to call it. That's the only real true threat to our democracy. And if you believe that humans are essentially good and that you can essentially trust people to rule over you, you're a fool. And you do not know your history. Did you know that?
Amen on that one, huh? Amen on that one. So they want, the only thing that can restrain the heart of a man is the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's the only thing that can restrain the heart of a man. And so what we're seeing is they don't want those restraints. They want to be set free from those restraints. That's the battle that's raging in us. Pull up number four. I came across this yesterday and used it on my Brideon show, which, by the way, I apologize to those of you out there. We had more technical difficulties yesterday on Brideon than any time. I don't know what the heck's going on. I would call it spiritual warfare. Is that what you came up with? Number? That's not the right one. Pull up number three at the top. Pull up number three at the top. I'm sorry. Maybe I got to. There we go. Lex Green. I don't even think that's Lex's real name. But he talks about the war that's going on in America today. Okay, friends? Here's the two worldviews. I'm gonna share this with you. Then I want to open it up because I want to hear from you. Okay, so look. Folks. Sometimes I sit here and I feel so vindicated. I said, thank you, Lord. Somebody else is saying it. Somebody else is saying it. There's no middle ground. And the message of the church has been tolerance, diversity. And when you get tolerance and diversity and all types of beliefs come in. And look, we got to realize, folks, there ain't no middle ground. You're either for me or against me. You're either in or you're out. You can't be halfway in, halfway out. You're either in or you're out. You're either for me or you're against me. So Lex Green came up with, scroll on down, Spencer. He came up with two different lists of things that we need to understand. And I'll put this and you can read it right there. Freeze. So here's agenda number one. Now remember, those of us in this huddle, we understand, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. I'm going to tell you this. The average person you come in contact has no feel or understanding for that. They do not understand the spiritual well or the spiritual realm. They don't get it. They don't understand it's good versus evil, right versus wrong. They don't understand it. They blend it. They think that if we can all just stop criticizing each other, we'll just make us a big pot of stew here, and it'll be so palatable, and we'll all just get along. And we know that the scripture tells us, can two walk together lest they agree? That cannot work. At the end of the day, someday, somebody's worldview is going to hold sway. And we're going to have to make the decision, the American church, we're going to have to make the decision whose worldview is going to hold sway. We have to be soldiers of the cross. So here's what Lex came up with. Here's agenda number one. This would be probably most of us in the queue, all right? I hope. Number one, America first. Number two, freedom and liberty for all citizens. Three, a basic right to life. Four, government that works for the citizens, not citizens who work for the government. Five, economic freedom, free market economies, minimal government. Six, limited, lawful, ethical government. Seven, free, fair, lawful, transparent elections. Everybody with me so far? This would be MAGA. This is MAGA, all right? Enforcement of the Bill of Rights for all legal citizens. 9, secure borders and legal immigration. 10, safe cities and neighborhoods. 11, real education, not Marxist indoctrination. 12, a moral society capable of self-governance. This is us, right? This is MAGA. This is MAGA. 13, a lawful, ethical justice system free from political corruption. 14, immediate accountability for anyone who violates their oath of office. And 15, consequences for all who break and enter our country illegally. Would y'all raise your hand and say, yep, that'd be me. That's me. That's what I want. That's what I want. Well, okay. So then we better understand that there's some people who want other things. There's a war going on here. And the other team wants a global Marxist one world commune, where America funds the rest of the world. 2, No distinction between legal citizens and illegal invaders. Equal rights for everybody. 3, a right of mothers to kill a whole generation in the womb. This is the other team, friends. A government that controls all citizens for the benefit of those in power. Boy, this is good, isn't it? Socialism, where productive citizens are penalized so we can give stuff to those who don't work. That's what the enemy wants. An all-powerful government involved in every facet of citizens' lives. 7, unlawful, hidden, fraudulent elections with tightly controlled outcomes. Man, a total disregard for the Bill of Rights and all founding documents. 9, erased borders and an end to national sovereignty. You know that's what the border war is about, right? Where am I? 10, sanctuary cities, where criminals are welcome and a protected class. And can I add, where they get money from the government? 11, global Marxist indoctrination and the continued dumbing down of Americans. 12, every immoral perversion and corruption known to mankind. This is Team Lucifer, a weaponized justice system designed to persecute all political opponents. 14, no accountability for violations of oath of office. 15, more rights and benefits for illegal aliens than any American citizen. There it is. There is the war. Now, so part of our problem is we have to make our fellow Americans, our fellow Christians in particular, aware of this war. They don't get it. They don't see, they don't understand that the other team, they're on the attack. And our team's playing defense. We're trying to stop all of these assaults on us, right? The other team, we're catchers. They're pitchers, we're catchers. And it ain't gonna work. That's what the letter to the American truth is all about, the American church is all about. We gotta wake up. Christian nationalism, hell yeah, it's Christian nationalism. Daggone right, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Hell yeah, it's Christian nationalism. Come on, heck yes it is. So we got to stand up and we got to fight for these things that they are accusing us of. We think if we don't engage, they won't accuse us of that anymore, see? We got to say, hell yeah, we are. Hell yeah, we're Christian nationalists. Hell yeah, we're going to teach right and wrong in the schools. Hell yeah, we're going to. Hell yeah, we're going to prosecute senators and congressmen. Hell yeah, we're going to, right? That has to be our attitude. But that's not our attitude. Our attitude is let them do whatever the heck they want to, and then we try to block it. Oh, we'll pull our kids. We'll pay for the schools and then pull our kids out. That's what we'll do. But yeah, that's the ticket. That's what we'll do. Come on in, Lauren. I'm stomping my feet. I'm so wound up here this morning. Come on, Lauren, waiting on you. Jeff Nell, come on in.
Hey, Coach, greetings. Yeah, it's exacerbating when I hear believers say, oh, this has been happening for years.
Yeah, but
I can't do anything about that.
It's what the Bible says is going to happen. It's just what the Bible tells us.
Right, and it reminded me of the section of the 45 declared goals of communists to take over America without firing a shot.
Right, they're doing it.
Do not criminalize obscenities to make it look like it violates civil rights.
Yeah, amen.
Would you give the example for it, the way it is? Thank you.
Well, they violate civil rights because they made it a not a Christian nation. So therefore, morality goes out the window, which, by the way, is what they want. Huh? Kimberly, come on in, then Laura. Go ahead, Kimberly. Whoop, she dropped. Laura Ann.
I have an emergency prayer request.
Right.
There's a mom that's scheduled to have an abortion this morning in Madison, Wisconsin. And she's carrying twins and she knows that she has them. So if we can just pray that the Lord would intervene and she's believed the lie that, you know, I don't know. She's 12 weeks pregnant. And she shouldn't even be having it because it's illegal in the state of Wisconsin to do that. And but Madison, Wisconsin doesn't care about the laws, and they've convinced her that she's going to hemorrhage and she's going to die. And that doesn't matter what's going to happen to the, that they need to terminate the baby's life. So if we can just pray for protection for the babies.
Go ahead.
So Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for this huddle. I thank you for such a time as this, that the twins, Lord God, that are so precious in your sight, need your protection, that you would send the mighty angels of heaven to war on their behalf, and that you would stop the enemy, Lord God, and trying to take what is belongs to you. These little these twins are precious in your sight in their mother's womb. So, Father God, I'm asking for your mercy to fall, that you embrace them with your love, and that they meet the Lion of Judah so that they can then meet the Lamb of God. Please, God, protect these little precious little ones from the enemy's plans. Protect the mama, Lord God, and somehow just prevent the mama from getting to the clinic, change her mind on the way there, do whatever is ever necessary, Lord God. Show her the truth, Lord God, and help her to receive it. Holy Spirit, fall upon her, comfort her. But Lord God, I'm asking you to bring deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Please, God, these babies need you, and so does the mom. And they're and the baby's siblings know that they exist. And I believe you've named them Noah and Peyton. And so, God, they have identities, and their identity is in you. Stop the doctors. Stop the Satanists. Stop the witches from their plans. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. See, here's the heart of the problem. Here's the heart of the problem. Because they've called us Christian nationalists, and we want to push our morality on other people, right? Unborn children are being slaughtered, and the church doesn't say a word. That's where they've taken us, folks. And the church won't go say a word because why? Well, they'll throw you in jail. Yeah, well, I can't be effective in jail, so I'm not gonna go stand up with that, right? Besides that, man, women have a right to choose. It's right there in the Constitution, right? I mean, we are so freaking stupid playing their game. You see, abortion will end in America when the church says it will. Not a moment sooner. And the church doesn't care. Individual Christians do. Oh, they're pro-life. They don't care. Craig.
I appreciate Lauren's empathetic spirit.
Yes, sir, me too.
Amen. Amen. Need more. We need more of that.
Yep.
Well, I have a question for you, Coach.
Yep.
Can you be an African American?
Can I be one? I could, and but I can be a woman.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, can you in our society be an African American? Is that embraced?
Well, there isn't such thing as an African American, and that Africa is a continent, right? So the rest of us are European Americans.
Okay, well, here's my point. Why can't I be a Christian American? If you can be an African American, and your perspective is looked at, you're African first and you're American second, why can't I be a Christian American? And why is that bad? And why is yours necessarily elevated? And why
well,
do you
want to
be?
Because the devil tells us it's bad. And people who aren't Christians are making laws and rules against the rest of us. That's why.
Right. So the bottom line is that in America, you have the right to voice your opinion, to give your perspective on what you think life is about and what's important to you. That's the bottom line. That's America. So Christian nationalism shouldn't be a big threat. If that's the case, then we got a big problem because we got a lot of people who identify as African Americans, and they're more interested in the continent of Africa than they are in America.
So Christian Americans, see, Christian nationalism. I'm with you, Craig. You got my brain rolling here. Christian nationalism is nothing more than saying we want Christian values. Now, look, you don't have to be a Christian. We're not pushing our morality on you. But here's the morality. If you kill somebody, you die. If you steal, you're punished. It's Christian nationalism. You can be an African-American and a Christian nationalist. You can be both, right? But see, they're trying to make folks, come on. They're trying to make Christian nationalism white Nazism. That's what they're trying to do. That's what's going on. And we're buying it. We're using their terms and their words and their phrases. We buy right into it.
Amen.
Our churches use it. We use it. I don't know if I've ever met an African-American. Wait a minute. Yes, I did. He was white. He was from South Africa. I had breakfast with him down in Gallipolis, Ohio. He was a white South African. He was an African-American. Wow. Mary Beth. Mary Beth, you there? Can't hear you.
Sorry. Hey, I just wanted to ask Laura if she could give us a follow-up on that. I just pray that...
Okay, ask her in the chat. Ask her in the chat.
Okay.
All right. Okay, pull up for me. Here's what we're dealing with, folks. Here are the people who are winning. Pull up number five. Pull up number five. Ask her in the after show. Pull up number five. Folks, these people are winning. These people are winning. This is a convention of the Democratic Socialists of America. They are winning. Go ahead, play it.
Here we are before the world, and we want to put the foot of socialism forward, you know, in the best way possible and create more socialists.
First of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know it's, we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Okay. Is there a speaker against name,
point
chapter, pronoun?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Thank you, comrade.
Privilege once again. Quick point of privilege once again. Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA, he, him. I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload. And that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety. Like, the be comradely isn't just for, like, you know, let's keep things civil or whatever. It's so that people aren't going to get triggered and so that it doesn't affect their performance as a delegate, okay? Your need to express yourself is important, but your need to express yourself should not trump or over...
And additionally, with the noise issue, like, avoid hissing, avoid waving banners, right? Because there's all sorts of things. If you don't know what to do, show up these, right?
Press are here. We are...
Okay, so there you are, huh? Those people are winning! They're winning! We can't get Christians out of the church, and they're having a convention talking about pronouns. It's like, oh my goodness. It's like a horror movie back in the 1950s. You would have never have believed that this, you would never believe this could possibly be true. I got another one for you. Hang on. Hang on. Pull up number four, Hormone Granny. Are you ready for this one? You ready for this one? Here we go. Say, Coach, where do you find this stuff? I don't know. Go ahead.
Support Can't them hear. To get hormone. Are your granddaughters?
They are 6 and 8.
Would you support them to get hormone blockers to become the other gender?
I would absolutely support them to get hormone blockers. The idea of one of my granddaughters learning that they're going to start having their period if they don't get their hormones blocked, even though they're identifying and portraying as a male. How horrible that would be. So yes, definitely.
If your granddaughter came to you and wanted to get a tattoo, what would you say?
That would be more difficult. I always told my three sons, the one thing I ask is please don't get tattoos.
Really? Why tattoos?
There's just something so permanent about it.
permanent?
It's pretty permanent. It's very difficult to get them lasered off or removed.
You don't think it's, like, permanent to change your gender? Are your granddaughter?
Inability to think, folks. The inability of people to think. It's unbelievable. It's everywhere we look. So here's what we need. Pull up number 8. We need more of this. More of this. I don't know who this is. I just find you. No, that's not it. Is that what you got? Tell me that's not what you have.
Here, you got it.
That's not it. There it is. Okay, here we go. We need more of this.
Refuse to participate. I'm not adopting your language. I'm not respecting your preferences. Because you don't own reality. You don't own grammar. You don't own definitions. You don't get to tell me. You're not important enough to provide me with an instruction manual on how to talk to you. Are you kidding? How important do you have to think you are to list at the bottom of your emails? And yeah, I see you laughing about it. Yeah, it's hilarious, isn't it? But what are the consequences for not abiding by it? What would happen in this chamber if I were to address Representative Finke? Need I continue? What would the consequences be?
Point of order, Madam Speaker.
Exactly. Thank you. And I refuse to participate.
Amen. I refuse to participate. That is called resistance. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. Okay, let me take you on a journey here real quick. Mary Beth, you still got your hand up. Did you want to come back in? No. Stop saying the word, guys. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so look. I shared this on the Bradion show yesterday, which was really, really good, except I had so many technical difficulties. I don't know what the heck was going on. Patrick Byrne, we shared this a little bit yesterday, but I want to cover it again because I think it's important. Patrick Byrne told us he was quoting some guy who was talking to America about socialism, the plan on socialists, what they've done to us. Okay, and here are the 4 steps. I'm gonna look at my list over here, make sure I get it right. The number one job that when they infiltrated, they came into our when the communists, Luciferian communists, came in. The number one technique that they wanted to do was to demoralize the people. Demoralize them. And they would demoralize the people by tearing down all the institutions, all the beliefs, yada, yada, yada. Because when that would happen, when everybody would get demoralized, they would be so frustrated. Then they would say, can't we get back to normal? Isn't there some way that we get back to normal? So they come in after they demoralize you. Then they're going to come back and they're going to try to pump you back up. That was step number one. Step number two was disorientation. Disorientation meaning what? To orient, you lose your way, and all of a sudden we're looking around and we're being hammered with everything that goes against what you believe. It's in your schools, it's in the government, it's on TV, everywhere, and you're looking around and your head's spinning and saying, wait a minute, you mean they really believe that Bruce Jenner's a woman? They really believe that? They really believe? They really believe that a woman could be a man? They really believe that? They really believe that a human being inside the womb isn't a... They really believe that? And your head's spinning. And you begin to think, well, maybe I'm the crazy one. Maybe it's me. So they do what? They demoralize you. They disorient you. And then they create a crisis. Then they create a crisis. Oh, yeah. Well, you can name it. Name whatever pandemic it is. But they get some kind of crisis going on and everybody's just screaming, oh, I just want to get back to normal. Can't we just get back to normal? And there ain't no normal. There ain't no new normal coming, folks. But they're going to come in and they're going to do what? Oh, they're going to get you off of your fear and your disorientation. They're going to do all that. Oh, they're going to it'll make you wear a mask, and they're going to vax you, and then everybody's going to be safe, and the churches are going to do it, everybody's going to do it, because who are you to judge, and why would you? And then you look around, and you're totally disoriented, you're in a crisis, and you're just saying, do whatever you got to do, just do whatever you got to do. I want to go back to work, I want to go watch the Browns, and the Bengals, and the Buckeyes, just do whatever you have to do. And then they create a new normal. We're in the midst of that right now. In American public schools, transgenderism is taught as normal. Christian nationalism is abnormal. You get it? Everywhere you look, it's what's going on. Because why? Because the abnormal ones are far more committed to their cause than we are to ours. And we think, we've been taught in our churches, that if you stand up and speak up against that demonic, diabolical behavior, that you're a hater. We're supposed to judge, we're supposed to love everybody, and they cram it right down the throat, and down the throats of our children. And I'm going to tell you something. If my dad, God rest his soul, if my dad were to walk back into America today, he would think he is in a different universe, just in two generations. And so we sit around today and we think, God, what are we going to do? And can I tell you, okay, here it goes. What's the church's answer? Well, it's the end times, just the end times. Now, I know this. I don't know what you think. Both political parties have been infiltrated. Neither political party represents Christians. Come on, come on, come on. Are the Republicans standing up and screaming and fighting against abortion? Are they standing up and screaming against the indoctrination of homosex into your children's school? Are they standing up and doing that? Are they standing up and screaming and hollering against transgender rights? Are they standing up and screaming about the invasion over our border? The Republicans, are they doing that? No. Why aren't they doing that? Because the power behind the Republicans is the church. The church doesn't care. We're going to be out of here soon. By the way, only 36%. Of Christians believe that. Yeah, we think that's a mainstream doctrine. Oh, my goodness. Somebody better come in here. I'm going to continue ranting and raving here for 13 minutes. Somebody come in and talk to me. Come on. Come on in. Thank you, Roger. Come on in.
Yeah, Coach, did you see the guy the other day that opened up prayer in the House of Representatives?
Yes.
They told him, before he got to pray, that he had to keep it within 100 words. They couldn't mention Jesus or God in his prayer. And he repented before he went in there. And he prayed in Jesus' name, and he prayed for repentance, and he brought up a firestorm. And I thought to myself, I thought the Republicans were in control of the House.
Well, they are. What is a Republican, though?
Yeah. What if they were in control of the House, they would let people come in that would take the name of Jesus and be able to say it right in the prayers, you know. But that's just a basic right. But I'm just saying that that's just one of the indicators of where we're at. You know,
that's where we are. Where we are. Just a second, Jeff. So look, here's part of the, in my opinion, part of the problem is, folks, whether we believe it or not, our theology impacts our behavior. Our theology, our belief impacts our behavior. And if you think, I'm not trying to beat up on rapture, folks, but if you believe that you're going to be out of here, it's like what they say, trying to save furniture on the Titanic, it's a sinking ship. Okay, I get that. But we're called to occupy till he comes. We don't know when he's coming. I'm not making fun of the rapture. It would seem to me that if you believe in the rapture, you'd be more active because, you know, time is short. We got to get out and work while the sun shines, for a day comes when no man can work. I'm not making fun of the rapture. I'm making fun of the people who believe in the rapture who aren't doing anything. That's what I'm griping about. I don't care if you believe in it. If it comes, I'm gone. I don't care. How can you sit on your ass if you think we're going to be raptured out of here in the next? How can you see people walking around lost and not say or do anything about it? How can you allow this to go on in the public schools with little kids who may not get raptured and not do anything about it? Amen. Let them teach doctrines of demons. I don't care about the rapture. What are you doing? No matter what your belief is. That's
Amen.
Where I am. That's where I am with it. And at the heart of the, Lord, do I have to say that? At the heart of the rapture is cowardice. Come on in, Jeff Klein.
Coach was sitting around Sunday morning about 6 a.m. and cup of coffee, flipped on the news. And they got an answer for this. Here's what they're doing. They just created, I think it was in New York City, the Christian nightclub. And they said their theme was, it's just about love and fun. And all the commentators were talking about how great that is. I just want to make me gag. It was Christian nightclub now.
Well, that's been coming for a while, right? It's coming for a while. And see, look, again, let me ask something. If I criticize, pick something. If I criticize the communion in the Catholic Church, transubstantiation, why do they get mad at me? Most Christians don't believe that transubstantiation, but those who believe it, they get mad. They get mad. They get madder than if I'm a Bengals fan rooting against the Browns. They get madder over that. Bible says that can two walk together, lest they agree. Bible says foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they just engender strifes. In other words, we can't work together because we're mad at each other because I don't believe like you believe. I'm just telling you the truth. Susie, come on in.
I've had so-called Christians even tell me, you got to do better than that because I'm so harsh on the LGBTQ community.
Well, you got to be nicer and you got to love them and tell them how much Jesus loves them. Yep. As they take over, the culture and recruit your child and your neighbor's child into that movement, you gotta love them. Is that what you gotta do, Susie? That's what you gotta do, isn't it? That's modern Christianity because we don't see it as a war. It's a war. They're after your kids. They're after the souls of children. That's what they're after. They're using sex. They're using all this other stuff. It doesn't matter. We keep paying our taxes because if we don't pay our taxes, they might take our house. Tim.
You know what blew my mind was how many people, Christians, took the shot. I could not believe how many people took the shot. That blew my mind. That was like a low watermark for me. Yep. Unbelievable. I'm still blown away.
But Tim, that tells you the condition of the pulpit, doesn't it, Tim?
Yeah. I mean, to this very day, I'm still shocked at what I saw and now what I'm in a Christian cesspool. And I was a pastor for 30 years. I can't believe it.
What do you think happened, Tim?
Well, we just don't follow the Bible. We listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and we believe the false doctrines, the false teaching. And here's the hard part. People won't stand up to the solid, absolute teaching of the Bible because they're so weak-minded that, well, you can't say that, but you know what? We can, and we have to.
Put that picture back up. We started out with Spencer that I'm going to say the truth no matter if I'm even the only one standing. I appreciate you, Tim, because I know this. You've been through it, dude. You stood up against it. You stood up against that crowd. There it is, folks. Yes, you all are wrong. Yep, you are all wrong. And if he's the only guy standing on truth, all those other people believing a lie doesn't make it true. And so wherever you are in whatever environment you are the salt of the earth. You're not the sugar of the earth. When you see sin, you got to cover it. You got to call it out. You don't cover it up. You got to speak up. If your pastor says something that's not correct. You got to say he's not the expert if he's wrong. He's not an expert if he's wrong. Jack.
The church is so schizophrenic. I can point you to a man who I know well. He's a pastor. He is a firm pre-trib rapture, but he's out there witnessing in Walmart right to their face because he knows that he's going to do it. But when he preaches, people hear him say pre-trib rapture, and they're waiting for the things to get worse so they can leave. All in the same conversation, but the same pastor that was out there and absolutely witnessing in Walmart, fire and brimstone, wouldn't allow the question of the jab to be spoken of on church property. Hello, what's the matter with us? Have we lost our freaking minds?
Yeah, we have. We have lost our freaking mind. Huh? We're the salt of the earth. We're the salt. The salt loses its savor. It's good for nothing. Look around. Who's in control, folks? Who's in control? Now, look. Here's Dave, look.
Dave, salt.
Yeah. Yo.
Let me do one thing on salt. Salt. You can make salt. It's cheaper to manufacture it from chlorine and sodium than it is to mine it to have the good stuff. So there's lots of fake salt out there that tastes salty, but it's not the Celtic sea salt. Hello?
Not the real stuff. Boom. Dale, come on in. Come on in, Dale.
Hallelujah, Coach. You know, George Washington, and of course, look, we can look at biblical through the worldview, but Lord, from the nation's point of view, George Washington said the most dangerous thing for a nation is more loyalty than party than the nation. And that's exactly what we're seeing. People don't care that as long as their guy is in control. I bought a T-shirt when I was up in Branson. It was at the Trump store, and it says this. It's got a picture of George Washington on it. It says, me and my homies would have been stacking bodies by now.
That's the truth, isn't it, huh? Me and my buddies would have been stacking bodies by now. So I want you to think about this. This is me. Well, I'm out on the street. I'm sharing the gospel. Whatever you call that, whatever I'm doing. Folks, this is me. I don't talk to people about the soon return of Jesus. I don't go there. Because every person that I know in my entire life died before they were raptured. Everyone I've known. Now, understand this. It's the fear of the Lord that drives us to repentance. And everybody in the world knows they're going to die. Rapture, not so much. I don't even go there. I say, dude, you could drop dead tomorrow. Where you go when you die, baby? Where are you going? You ever your parents die? Yeah. Where's your dad? Where is he? Where did he go? You're the one that says he passed away. Passed away where? Because death is a reality that we all understand. Lost understand it. Found, understand it. To try to scare him with the rapture, it doesn't work because why? I'm more likely to die than be raptured. That's the way I see it. And so I don't want everybody to think I'm attacking the rapture. I'm not attacking the rapture. I don't. First of all, you can't prove it, but I'm not here attacking that. I'm saying that's not the central focus of Christianity. That's not the central focus of the gospel. It's a distraction. If the rapture comes, I'm out of here. If the rapture doesn't come, I'm out of here. I'm going to die, right? Come on. Come on. Don't get mad at me. Jack. Your hand's still up, Jack. Okay, doesn't matter. Look, a little bit of therapy for me this morning. And I don't try to keep a crowd. I don't try to build a crowd. we all pat ourselves on the back. We got numbers. Oh man, we had 10,000 watching. That feels good. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And I just ask people, huh? You don't like what we got going on here? I leave. But where are you going to assemble? What, you going to go listen to Joel Osteen? You going to go follow him? Hey, Joyce Meyer? Hey, go follow Joyce Meyer. Go do that. So you're all welcome at this table. You may not like what we cook, but you're all welcome to come and eat it. See you tomorrow. God bless you.
And we're clear.